wrap up, we've got a couple of items left. 27 on the agenda, avian influenza update from Rocco Morano. He's our senior wildlife biologist. He's joining us virtually. Rocco, can you hear us okay?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can, yes. So whenever you are ready, you go ahead and start, sir.
Chair, members of the commission, Secretary Roland, thank you for giving me a chance to talk about an issue that we've been dealing with, at least in the avian world, for a couple of years now, almost a little over 2 years, which is bird flu or highly pathogenic avian influenza. I'm just going to give kind of a rundown of kind of the last 2 years, where we sit, and a little bit about what we might expect moving forward. So as far as an overview, bird flu or avian influenza is endemic in birds. Just like, you know, many other flus are endemic in different species, suites. You know, there's flu that affects swine, there's flu that affects people, there's flu that affects birds. And like all other flu viruses, there's a lot of different variants through mutations. You know, viruses change through time and they become either more or less virulent. And there's also low pathogenic avian influenza that is very common in birds and really doesn't cause any problems. It's just a virus that is in the population, doesn't really cause sickness or mortality events, but is, you know, it spreads through the population. When these things become highly pathogenic, they start to cause sickness and death in birds. And the current lineage of H5N1 highly pathogenic avian influenza first was detected in the United States in 2014 with the first South Dakota outbreak in Beetle County at a turkey facility in 2015. But before that, there have been high path AI outbreaks in Europe and Asia for a long time. And going back even to the turn of the century, there's been periodic bird flu outbreaks really all over the world. The current H5N1 outbreak started in Maritime Canada in Nova Scotia and really was documented first in black-beak gulls and thought to have come over from Iceland and Greenland. There was also some mortality on some marine mammals, some seals and things that really got people wondering what was going on up in Nova Scotia. Quickly spread down the eastern seaboard and then west. And we started seeing birds that were infected on that spring migration north, the subsequent spring. Along with pretty much, basically all birds can be infected with high path AI or avian flu in general, but there's been a whole host of other species that have been documented to be infected, such as seals, skunks, raccoons, coyotes, bobcats, big cats in zoos, grizzly bears. If you've heard, there was some commercial mink operations that actually had high path AI run through them and kill thousands of minks. And while domestic dogs and cats can be infected, there haven't been any confirmed cases that I could find in the United States. Humans can also be infected. The risk is low. There's been one positive case of human infection in this most recent outbreak in Colorado. It was actually a worker that had been helping to depopulate a poultry facility that got sick with bird flu. As far as impacts on the domestic poultry industry, since spring of 2022, we've had 47 states that have had commercial poultry outbreaks with about 59 million birds impacted. That's why you've seen some reports of egg prices going up, chicken prices going up. This is one of the reasons is the bird flu running through a lot of these commercial operations. In South Dakota, we've had 63 commercial operations impacted with about 4 million birds, either directly killed by the virus or euthanized during depopulation of those facilities. We've had commercial turkeys, chickens, and commercial pheasant operations have also been impacted in South Dakota. We've also had 15 backyard flocks that have been tested positive. I'm sure there's been more, but confirmed 15 backyard flocks of chickens. As far as wild bird impacts since the spring of 2022, so in past outbreaks, there's been several high path AI outbreaks in the past, and there really hasn't been a wild bird mortality, at least we've been able to document. This latest one, starting last spring, there has. And there's been significant mortalities with many different species of birds. We've had raptors, owls, waterfowl, water birds like pelicans. Lots and lots of different birds that have actually been confirmed to die with this. We've had 100 confirmed high path AI samples in South Dakota. And how we go about doing that is, you know, let's take a county, let's take Beetle County, for example. If there's a snow goose that we find or any other species that we find and we test, once we get a positive test, we don't run high path AI tests on all the other ones that we find. We just note those and document those as likely impacted by high path AI. So that's why the test number is lower than our estimated impacted birds through mortality. And across the country, there's been roughly 6,500 positive wild bird tests in 49 states. No population level impacts have been documented, and we're lucky, you know, that we have operational monitoring programs like, you know, direct population estimates. We have banding data. We also have things like the parts collection survey for ducks and geese that help to look at age ratio data. So we have operational monitoring in place, and if there are any population level impacts detected in those programs, we will be able to hopefully be able to detect that and have management level decisions based on those impacts. We've had approximately 26,000 reported or observed wild birds dead in South Dakota. There's likely quite a bit more just that either have not been directly observed by staff or reported by the public, but that's what we have in our disease database, and the vast majority of those have been snow geese, with, like I said, lots and lots of other species in lower numbers. This is just a breakdown of the positive high path AI test taken from the USDA website this week, just showing our 100 compared to some other ones. Just depends on the sampling protocols each state uses. Recent wild bird impacts. So I said we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the pattern that we've seen. So the first outbreak that we saw was the spring of 2022. We saw, you know, adults and juveniles of various species of impacted. By the time they got up to the breeding grounds, many of those birds were likely already been challenged by the virus. It's thought that the virus probably has a much higher prevalence rate than what you're seeing in mortalities. So by the time they were breeding, a lot of those birds had already been infected and recovered. In the fall, we saw another pulse of infections with hatchier birds, particularly hatchier snow geese. When they kind of got bottled up in the Dakotas, in South Dakota specifically, we saw a pretty decent mortality event this fall during freeze-up. A lot of those birds froze actually in the lakes because we had a relatively fast ice up in mid to late November. What we're seeing now is a lot of those birds washing up onto the shorelines. That actually died last fall, and that's what we're getting calls on. But we're seeing very little new mortality this spring. We've seen a handful of raptors and a few waterfowl test positive this spring, but nothing like we've seen the spring previously. So my hope is that, you know, as maybe herd immunity builds up in this population, we're going to see less and less, but we may see another pulse of mortalities in the fall when you have the young of the year or immunologically naive come back through the flyway, back through South Dakota, up to the wintering grounds. We may see another mortality event in the fall. We just don't know. It's kind of uncharted territory since there hasn't been, you know, these wild bird impacts in some of the past outbreaks. Hopefully it just kind of burns itself out like most wildlife diseases do eventually, but we don't know. As far as the response that we've had, as far as Game Fish and Parks response, we've worked really closely with Animal Industry Board, APHIS. We actually had an APHIS biologist taking blood samples on some of our banding sites, looking for prevalence rates. We've helped out with APHIS to assist commercial poultry producers with deterrent tools like hazing techniques, like propane cannons, things like that. We take reports of sick and dead birds by field staff, and we do a lot of testing at bringing birds to SDSU for testing. In areas of high human health concerns, some birds have been euthanized or removed, but we're not out picking up big groups of birds unless there's a direct impact or potential impact to people for the most part. We've also created an information hub about HiPAP AI on our website, which has a whole host of information from various agencies and partners to help educate the public on HiPAP AI. With that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions for Rocco or comments? It looks like there are none. Very good update. Thank you for bringing that to us and to the public, Rocco. Good job.